listening to the Friday Happy Hour with me, Anne-Marie Kelly, the recovering good girl. We're talking about things that matter to us women in midlife, and you men who I know you're out there who care about us. And by the way, in addition to be a recovering good girl, I'm also a victorious woman. Somebody who knows me, who listens in to the show, asked me why I only talk about being a recovering good girl when, as she knows, I've overcome seemingly overwhelming obstacles to become a victorious woman, and I did that long before I wrote my first book. My own experience and the joy of being victorious is the reason why I focus on my work on helping other women, because I know if I can beat the odds and get past some of the things I've been through in my past, I totally believe you can too. The book came about as a result of a personal health challenge, and that's when I started interviewing women to find out what they did to overcome challenges, and some of those women became the stories in Victorious Woman. So the recovering good girl part actually happened as a result of telling my story in one of my conference keynotes. And I think the first time it was at University of Delaware when I talked about being a good girl and a recovering good girl. And after the speech, women came up to me and told me that good girl thing was one of the things that they totally resonated with, that they spent a lifetime being good girls only to get to midlife and find out it just hasn't served them very well. But like me, they find that shifting out of good girl mode and stepping in out of their comfort zones takes more courage than they thought and that I thought, that either one of us might have suspected. And that's what the Victorious Woman Project, including this Friday Happy Hour, is all about, helping women like you and me get the ideas and tips that help us have the courage to victory our way to being more of who we really are, doing more that satisfies our souls, and having more of the life we love living. So I guess I thought that was kind of self-explanatory, and apparently not. But that listener made me think. And you know how that happens sometimes? Like somebody can tell you something over and over and over again, and you just say, eh. And then somebody says it when you're really ready to hear it, and you suddenly you get it. And that's what that listener did for me. And by the way, if you're listening today, thank you. I hope that's what happens to you all when you come to Happy Hour. And that's one of the reasons why I invited today's guest. Have you ever wondered why it seems that men get attention and credit more easily than you do, and not just in the workplace, but every place? If there was something you could do about it, wouldn't you want to know how? Of course you would. And you can. There are some things that we do, behaviors that we do unconsciously, and they usually develop as part of our good girl approach, I guess is a way of saying it. And those behaviors undercut our credibility and our power, our feminine power. I've done them myself, and so has my guest. Kay Fittes is the CEO of High Heeled Success. Don't you just love that name? And we're going to be shining a light on those behaviors so you can notice them, start changing them, and start stepping into more of your feminine power. And then for some chick chat, you'll be glad to know that author Pam Mariani will be back with us today, and we're talking about being bossy. So make yourself something to drink, get comfortable, and get ready for the good stuff. Today is the first full day of spring. Now, I know yesterday they talked about it being the first day of spring, but it doesn't start till like halfway through the day. So today's the first full day of spring, and I'm aware of it because it's my father's birthday. So we always talked about that when we were growing up, that it was the first day of spring. And I'll bet there were a couple of days in the past couple of months when, when you thought this day might never come. Most of us had a lot of difficulty with all the snow this winter. For some, it was being stuck in the house. For others, it was travel problems. And in my house, it was a lot of loss of work. Joseph's massage clients couldn't get to the office, and I had canceled workshops. By the end of last month, I felt so stuck and was in such a funk that I felt I just couldn't get out of it. I don't know if any of you felt that same way, but it was like, oh, I'm so tired of winter, and it's like the spring's never going to come. And I was feeling like empty and worn out, not physically worn out so much, but mentally and emotionally worn out. I didn't feel like doing anything, including working on my 2014 goals. And, you know, I'm the goal-focused, reach-for-the-stars victory maven. So it's really bad when I can't get myself mentally charged up. But for weeks on end, I felt like doing nothing but eating lots of bread and sugar and drinking a little scotch. And in my work, I mostly did just what was in front of me, that old living by your deadlines instead of by your compass kind of stuff. And honestly, I didn't have a good reason. It was a bad winter for me, but nothing else. It was just the weather. A lot of people had it worse. I had a colleague die unexpectedly at 52. My longtime mentor, Jean, has dementia. Her daughter moved her into a nursing home. My childhood girlfriend's spouse found out he had developed chronic illness. So, you know, I was the one poking around going, boo-hoo, what a hard winter. But if like attracts like, it was a path I didn't want to be heading down to because, you know, there was a day when my diet staple were hard-boiled eggs and soybeans, and that's what I ate every day, and not because I was trying to be healthy, but because that's all I could afford. You know, soybeans were like a dollar a pound or something like that, so I was there once. I don't want to go back there again. So I knew I was in need of a serious mental and emotional tune-up, so I looked for something that would jazz me up mentally and emotionally and found this course called Prosperity Plus. I'm not pitching it. It's just that I felt for me that it helped me move my head out of a bad place into a better place. And I started studying prosperity like over 25 years ago. It's how I got off the hard-boiled eggs and soybean diet. And it's when I started using the law of attraction. And I do that. I teach that a lot, especially with my vision board classes and some of my goals workshops. So studying prosperity principles changed my life. And I went from not having two pennies to rub together to buying my first house. And then I met Joseph, and he was working in a dead-end job, but he had a dream, so he wanted to learn the prosperity stuff too. So the CDs, these Prosperity Plus CDs that I'm listening to, are reminding me of all the things I learned a long time ago, things that made my life better, and things that I think in the last couple of years, because I haven't had a big I don't know, bad things. Things have not been bad, but I just haven't had the need to be overly motivated. I guess that might be one way of saying it. So later this month, I'm going to Princeton for a half-day workshop with Edwene Gaines. Edwene is from Tennessee, and she's a hoot. She has a way of expressing the law of attraction that makes me laugh, and also she has a point. She says things in ways that stick. I've invited her to happy hour, so I'm hoping that you're going to be able to get to meet her too, either in April or in May, and I'll let you know when she's coming. When it comes to prosperity, Catherine Ponder is another good resource. Some of you I know have read Catherine Ponder, but she's now in her 90s, so a lot of her books are 40 or 50 years old, and they're dated in the way that they sound, but her info is still timely. And her book, The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity, is ageless. And you can get it pretty cheap online, and it's available in Kindle at Amazon. And a book that's been resurfacing in recent years is called The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. It's also dated in the way that it's written, but you know, it'll teach you what you need to know if you want to be rich. And he talks about being rich not necessarily, not always just the money, but rich in your health and rich in your friends and all that. You know, that's what prosperity really is. It's not just the money. It's the whole big picture. It's that being more, doing more, having more that we talk about at Victoria's Woman Project. So, and that one you can download for free. So all of those, the Prosperity Plus, Edwene Gaines, Catherine Ponder, and Wallace Wattles' book, all those links are on my website at victoriouswoman.com. And I'll tell you, there are more modern books on prosperity, but if you can get past the dated language and the dated examples, the old books are, in my opinion, are much more solid than most of the more modern ones. And the people who wrote them, I think, were more grounded. They were more grounded in the real science of prosperity and the real meaning of prosperity. So if, like me, your brain got sizzled over the winter and you feel tired and unmotivated, take a look at some of those old prosperity books and see if you can get yourself jazzed up again. Spring, it's a whole new beginning, so enjoy that whole thing, and keep moving it forward with your with a prospering life. Okay, so we're getting ready for K-Fitness. A couple of minutes ago, I told you about the listener who wondered why I didn't make a bigger deal about being a victorious woman. You know, there's something in so many of us that makes us downplay our success and the victories we work so hard to achieve. You know how it is, you work really hard for something, then you never tell anybody. And if you're like that, Kay can help you. Kay Fittis is the founder of her own company, High Heeled Success, and the author of the book, Achieving High Heeled Success. And she's passionate about helping you to make those changes in your life that will help you get more income and more respect and more of the positive life you want to have. She's going to help us rethink our relationship to feminine power, and she's going to give us some tips to, as Katy Perry would sing, roar. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, Kay Fittis will be here. And if you have questions for me or Kay, you can call us at 610-701-9243. You're listening to the Friday Happy Hour with me, Anne Marie Kelly. We'll be right back.
Kaylee, aren't you coming down? You're going to be late for school.
I know. My glasses fell behind the bed and I can't get them.
Hold on. I'll come up.
Some things can be a little hard to reach, but then there are some things that are well within reach, like health coverage for your kids.
Mommy, I can't reach my juice.
You can't reach your juice? Hold on, I'll be down.
With Pennsylvania's Children's Health Insurance Program, your child can have checkups, prescriptions, dental, eye care, and more covered for free or low cost. So that no matter what they're reaching for...
Hey, Mom, Brandon just totally wiped out on his skateboard.
Chip is there for them. CHIP covers uninsured kids up to age 19 who are not eligible for medical assistance. There's no waiting period to apply, so don't wait. Apply today. Visit chipcoverspakids.com to learn more or call us at 800-986-KIDS. Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Tom Corbett, Governor.
Did you know that Westchester University offers a wide array of arts performances in theater, dance, and music all right here in suburban Chester County? Throughout the year, both professional acts and student performances highlight the university's stages. Jazz ensembles, dance troupes, choral concerts, plays and musicals, even the new President Speaker Series featuring noted speakers. Many events are free, some are ticketed, and have a small admission fee. Learn more at wcupa.edu/arts.
This March, the X's and O's are enough to make any fan's head spin. At Jim Zappella's Nissan of Devon and nissanofdevon.com, our team wants to clear your head from the madness, clear the lane, and make you a slam dunk deal.
Get excited!
Lease an Ultima for $99 a month. What a slam dunk!
Get excited!
Lease a Maxima for $199 a month. Oh my! Another slam dunk!
Get excited!
So, clear your head, and the only X you are thinking about this month is...
Get excited!
Jim Zappella's Nissan of Devon, minutes away and a lot less to pay.
Visit nissanofdevon.com today. Ultima stock number C14059, 36-month, 12,000-mile lease, $23.99 down. Maxima stock number C14148, 36-month, 12,000-mile lease, $23.99 down. Two or more vehicles available at this price.
Hi, everybody. I'm Summer Sanders, Olympic gold medal swimmer, and you're listening to WCHE 1520 AM.
Welcome back to the Friday Happy Hour, and Kay Fittis, welcome.
Thank you. Happy Happy Hour.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you've come to Happy Hour today. You're so energetic, Kay. I love it.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, I heard you talking about kind of the doldrums of winter, and I've been working hard myself to power back up.
I know. And, you know, sometimes, don't you think it's true that sometimes people, when we do the kind of work we do and we're out being motivational, inspirational, people think that we're like that all the time.
Oh, yeah. What a big fat lie that is.
We need to juice ourselves up just like anybody else. We just have a better sense of when we need to do it, don't you think?
That's right. I look at my life and my career, it looks a lot like a roller coaster. I'm up and I'm putting a lot of energy out there, and then I kind of move into slug mode.
And that's not bad when you're on vacation. Not so good in the middle of February. You know?
Really? Very true. Very true.
Listen, Kay, I remember when I was first starting out in my own business, the speaker at a networking event talked about how women shortchange themselves, starting with the way they stand. And she was talking about how we stand like good girls with both feet together.
Yes.
and how standing like that implies weakness, because when you stand with your feet together, it's easy to get pushed off balance. And
that's
over time,
a good point.
Yeah, I never forgot what she said, because I find that it's true both physically and also like metaphorically.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, men never stand that way. But, you know, we were taught as women to stand, like, with our feet 12 inches apart.
That's right. They're standing in a power position, mm-hmm. planted on the ground, taking a stance.
Not only do
I see women with their feet together, but I see them almost intertwined. Have you ever watch a woman standing in line? You'll see her with her foot to the side, or kind of twisted inside of each foot. And what a risky position, both physically and, as you said, metaphorically.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I downloaded your 6 self-sabotaging behaviors, and that was mistake number 4, the way that you present yourself.
That nonverbal language, it just screams at mm-hmm. the world.
Well, in recent years, one of the big department stores, they've been showing ads, and it just every time we say, I cut them out. And then when I go to a workshop, I show them off, because there are ads that show women, not only do they have their 2 feet together, but the pictures are always what I would call like lightweight examples. The women are always wearing pink or white dresses. The pictures are always pretty, and they're in places where we want to be, like a garden or something like that.
That's right.
And they always pay attention
to the rest of their body language, too, Anne-Marie. Heads tilted to the side.
Yes.
You'll see women, even in business photographs, how they look like they're tilted, or they have their hand resting or their chin resting on their hand, which is not a power position in the world.
No, that's really true, and I think like that's a kind of branding that continues to be, you know, pushed on women, and it doesn't serve any of us.
No, it is not. And the media is not always our friend.
Yeah. So can you think that it's good when women develop a new relationship with power? So when you say that, and I was reading that on, I think, on your website, what does that mean? What kind of a relationship? How do we need to do that differently?
Well, you know, it's really interesting, Anne-Marie, when you just say the word power in a large group of women. I often do that in my workshops. I ask women to write down who are the top 5 names that you think of when you think of someone that has wielded immense power in the world. And often the names that come up are names like Hitler and Attila the Hun, Imelda Marcos. None of them are
positive.
Very positive.
Mm.
And for so many women, certainly not all, but for many women, that is the immediate connection they have to power, and that is power corrupts. And if that's your relationship, it's no surprise that someone may be very leery of power. But there's a reality. You know it as well as I do, being in business. To succeed in the workplace, it is essential to have power.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Absolutely essential. So, you know, my recommendations to clients always are, are, first of all, pay attention to how you define it in the first place and see if some of those associations are working against you.
Wait a second. Let me stop you there, because I remember that I have had those, I had that time in my life, and then I moved out of it, but when I met my current my only spouse, but when I first met him, and he had a job where he was in a very passive kind of a job, and he really disliked the people who owned the company.
Mm.
And as he started to study, I was talking earlier about prosperity, as he started to study that, we talked about it, and he said, you know, as long as you feel that they're against you, then you will always have to be in that other kind of position that's not powerful. And I think a lot of
great insight you were able to give to him. My goodness.
But I think that happens with a lot of women. And I notice, you know how we, you know, like in a company, instead of letting the people who are our bosses or our bosses' bosses know what we're doing, then we tend to tell our friends. So our friends know all the good stuff we're doing, but the people who matter don't.
That's exactly right. You know, self-promotion is often not a strong suit of women in the workplace. Interestingly enough, almost all good-sized cities have some kind of business publication. In our area, it is the Biz Courier. A couple of years ago, they have a program called the 40 Under 40,
mm-hmm.
highlighting individuals under 40 years of age who are really making a big splash mm-hmm. in the community. And each of the individuals are interviewed, and one of the interviewees said, happened to have been a woman, just do your job. Don't worry about who the credit goes to, and you will stand out in the workplace. And, you know, as I was reading it, I was probably jumping up and down in the room going,
your face is turning blue.
Don't say it. You know, and maybe there are a rare few, Emery, that could actually do that. But for the rest of us mortals, we've got to promote ourselves. We have to let the rest of the world know what kind of value we bring to the table.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree. And we tend to, as I said, we tend to let our friends know all this work that we're doing, but the people who matter, the people who can help us, and the people who might be good mentors or sponsors for us, just they're not knowing about it, and they can only promote you if they know what you're doing.
That's right. They are not clairvoyant. They you need really to have a strategic weekly plan for self-promotion.
Mm.
Now, what emails are you going to forward this week to your boss or whatever powers that be? What kind of case studies of some kind of problems that you have solved are you going to let people be aware of? If you're self-employed, you know, what are you going to put on social media so the people that need to know what kind of fabulous work you're doing know about it? You have to have a plan to do that.
And you know what, Kay, I think not only in the workplace, but, you know, I talk to a lot of women who with kids, and their spouse and their kids don't have a clue what they do on a regular basis. So even, like, I always laugh, the joke I always, one of the examples I always use is my spouse works from home on Wednesdays, and so he might make the bed, and then he comes down into the kitchen where I might be and says, I made the bed.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, big deal. You know, I do it 5 days
a week.
I make
it every other day, right?
And whoopee, you made the bed. But people don't notice. Things are just done, and you become invisible.
That's exactly right. That's so fascinating. A number of years ago, I was doing a workshop and talking to the participants about the importance of acknowledging and recognizing their employees and making the suggestion that they write a letter home to the family of the employee and say how valuable they were and what they really did to make a difference in their workplace. And unbeknownst to me, there was a yellow legal pad circulating in the conference room, and at the end of the day, they presented it to me, and it was small notes written to my husband about the difference that I had made with them that particular day.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
Oh, it was incredible. And I took it home. This is the really astonishing part. I took it home and showed it to my husband, and he said, huh, that's what you do?
Yeah, see, not a clue.
Not a clue. And not that he necessarily even should. That's my job, to help him understand
right.
that.
Right.
And so now I'm doing a much better job of doing that. In fact, I just got an email from a participant from yesterday, and it was very touching, and she had definitely had some profound insights. And my husband happens to be out of town at the moment, and I thought, I'm just going to forward this to him. And he just responded back, wow, that's fantastic. So you're
good
right.
For you.
Not only do we have to promote ourselves within our workplace, but it'd be pretty darn nice if we told our families what we're doing as well.
Yeah, I remember somebody telling me that their mother had passed away or something, and it was something bad had happened, and she said, I never realized how much she did. And isn't that a shame that she couldn't have said that when the mother was present?
In the living years, yes.
Right.
That's quite a tragedy.
But you know, okay, here's something that, one problem that a lot of women have is that sometimes we're afraid to put ourselves out there in a prominent position or some kind of a leadership position, because along with that leadership stuff comes criticism.
You better believe it.
And, you know, you're a moving target. So, and we seem not to be able to, like, there statistics have shown that we would rather be liked than be leaders. But that doesn't help us.
No, it doesn't. You know, criticism is part of life. But there are basically only three ways that children get reinforced in their lives as children. And they're either being reinforced for power, or they're being reinforced for achievement, or they're being reinforced for affiliation. And traditionally, that's certainly how more girls have been acknowledged, and that is for the relationships, for affiliation. So it's really no surprise that women struggle with the whole concept of criticism, because if you see criticism as a personality and a relationship annihilation, no wonder they struggle to accept it. But it's certainly possible to make a huge transition in the ability to do that. I have seen so many clients really move from having that sense that, oh my goodness, if anyone says anything negative to me, I'll just disintegrate, to really having a much more positive and a much more constructive way of dealing with criticism.
I think sometimes that we there's a thought that says, you know, we rummage in our heads and we like play the negativity over and over again, and I notice I've learned so much from my spouse, because he'll say, like, somebody will say something and he says, well, so what, you know.
Yeah.
it's not like a big deal.
More men just don't care as much. But I do, you know, really, because we as women often have been socialized and conditioned to put the relationship on such a high pedestal, it may not be realistic to think we will not care. But it is realistic to say there are some new ways of looking at it. You know, one of the things that I certainly...
Okay, we need to stop for a break. Let's pick it up right
sure.
here when we come back.
We'll talk about filters when we come back.
Excellent.
How about that?
You're listening to the Friday Happy Hour with me, Ann Marie Kelly.
Things can be a little hard to reach, but then there are some things that are well within reach, like health coverage for your kids.
Mommy, I can't reach my juice.
You can't reach your juice? Hold on, I'll be down.
With Pennsylvania's Children's Health Insurance Program, your child can have checkups, prescriptions, dental, eye care, and more covered for free or low cost. So that no matter what they're reaching for...
Hey, Mom, Brandon just totally wiped out on his skateboard.
Chip is there for them. CHIP covers uninsured kids up to age 19 who are not eligible for medical assistance. There's no waiting period to apply, so don't wait. Apply today. Visit chipcoverspakids.com to learn more or call us at 800-986-KIDS. Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Tom Corbett, Governor.
Did you know that Westchester University offers a wide array of arts performances in theater, dance, and music all right here in suburban Chester County? Throughout the year, both professional acts and student performances highlight the university's stages. Jazz ensembles, dance troupes, choral concerts, plays and musicals, even the new President's Speaker Series featuring noted speakers. Many events are free, some are ticketed, and have a small admission fee. Learn more at wcupa.edu/arts.
This March, the X's and O's are enough to make any fan's head spin. At Jim Cipolla's Nissan of Devon and NissanofDevon.com, our team wants to clear your head from the madness, clear the lane, and make you a slam dunk deal.
Get excited!
Lease an Ultima for $99 a month. What a slam dunk!
Get excited!
Lease a Maxima for $199 a month. Oh my! Another slam dunk! So, clear your head, and the only X you are thinking about this month is...
Get excited!
Jim Cipolla's Nissan of Devon, minutes away and a lot less to pay.
Visit NissanofDevon.com today. Ultimate stock number C14059, 36-month, 12,000-mile lease, $23.99 down. Maximus stock number C14148, 36-month, 12,000-mile lease, $23.99 down. Two or more vehicles available at this price.
PAMatters.com is the exclusive home for Radio PA's Ask the Governor program, now brought to you by the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association.
This is Governor Tom Corbett. Each month, we'll talk about the issues that affect you on Ask the Governor. You can submit your questions today by visiting PAMatters.com.
Each month, Governor Tom Corbett joins us in studio for a one-hour conversation, including answers to your questions and comments submitted to PAMatters.com. To take part, just go to PAMatters.com and click on the Ask the Governor link at the top of the page. Fill out the form with your brief question or comment and click submit. It's just that simple. Or you can send a direct email to askthegov@pamatters.com. That's askthegov, G-O-V, at pamatters.com. Stop by pamatters.com today and send in your question. You can also access archived video clips from past Ask the Governor programs and other features from the Radio PA Newsroom. Be sure to bookmark pamatters.com and also join us on the PA Matters Facebook page. pamatters.com. People, politics, Pennsylvania.
Hi, I'm Terry Reeves from Battleground, and you are listening to WCHE 1520 AM.
Welcome back. You're at the Friday Happy Hour, and you're here with me and Mary Kelly and my guest, Kay Fittis. Kay, you're going to tell us about filters. We were talking about sabotaging behaviors. What can and criticism.
That's right. About the whole thing of criticism, you know, one of the things that always interests me, Anne Marie, is that how readily women will believe the criticism that they get.
You're right.
You know, it seems as though we seem to have this belief that we are mandated to accept everything that is leveled at us. Now, first of all, there are plenty of saboteurs out there. I'm sure you have encountered them.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that do not have your best interest at heart. You know, so that's the first thing. You got to really consider, where is this criticism coming from? So that, you know, you weigh that on one hand, and then on the other hand, you have to say, well, if I don't ever listen to criticism, certainly I'm not going to learn, I'm not going to grow. So I think you have to have a filter there. And it comes down to, for me, and when I'm working with clients, saying, where is the kernel of truth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what pattern keeps showing up over and over? And then maybe to probe and ask for more information. And one of the things that seems to work really well is just saying initially, that's something I'll consider. Doesn't mean you have to accept it, just that I will filter it through my systems in my brain and say, is it something I'm going to keep? Is it something I'm going to reject?
Hmm. And you know, when I talk to women and do workshops around mentoring, it's something that I always tell women: trust, pick someone you could trust. You know,
absolutely.
Connect with them a couple of times and see what kind of people they are. Pay attention. Don't just say, "Be my mentor." I've had people walk up to me who don't even know me and don't know anything about me, except that maybe I was speaking someplace or somebody else said something and say, "Will you be my mentor?" Wait. You don't even know if I'm the right person for you.
Oh, right. You know, you have to find some. Well, yeah, I've had that experience as well. Mm-hmm. And you have to find mentors that will do both, give you loving feedback. You know, it needs to be in your best interest, and at the same time, if it's totally sugar-coated, it doesn't do you a darn bit of good.
And that's so true. I remember when I first interviewed Jean Ott, and I don't know if you know who she is, from Women Unlimited, and she said to me, that was an issue for her because she didn't like that at the beginning. And she was, you know, she broke through several glass ceilings in her mm-hmm. working career before starting Women Unlimited. But the thing that she said to me was, that she learned was, if nobody ever gives you feedback, how do you get better?
Oh, you can't. You absolutely can't. But there is the option. Let's put it that way. And I will say with one caveat. It's our option. Unless your boss says, change or you're out of here, then you may want to accept
right,
it regardless.
Right. That's a good point. But you're right. A lot of people, you have to find out who you can trust. Sometimes your girlfriends are good resources, but sometimes they don't want to tell you because they don't want to hurt your feelings.
That's exactly right. And if you know that they're already a people pleaser, you're setting yourself up to get nothing but sugar-coated fluff.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need sugar-coated fluff.
Yeah, that's the truth. And you know, sometimes it happens, Kay, that some of the things that, you know, we let people know that we're not so happy with their feedback and, you know, in maybe direct ways, or we push it away. But some of the things that we do and some of the feedback we can get has to do with often the way we present ourselves. And in something, there's ways that we undermine our own power, and I call them like little speech tics.
Oh, but you're talking about the verbal language issue.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. That we say that the way that we say things sometimes is, it just doesn't put us in the most powerful position.
Oh, it happens consistently every day. That is probably one of the most sabotaging behaviors that women participate in, whether it is using the indecisive I, the starting every sentence with, well, I think blah, 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 or I feel blah, blah, blah. Who cares?
Yes.
I mean, if you start every sentence like that, every word out of your mouth sounds like a personal opinion, not a fact.
Mm.
And that is not a very powerful way to be. I had a speaking engagement Tuesday evening with women in the insurance industry, and we were talking about this very issue, and we were also talking about hedges, those series of words and phrases at the beginning of our sentences that try to soften the statement or make us seem less aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, you know, this may not be important, but, you know, in my opinion, I just wanted to say, oh, for Pete's sake, just say it.
Just say it, yeah. Just tell me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, part of it is habit, I really believe. And, you know, people have just gotten into this as a pattern. But the other piece of it is some people really are doing it as self-protection because they don't feel comfortable taking any kind of stance.
Well, that part is really true. And you know what, there's a lot of, and that goes back to that taking criticism, because if you, you know, it's that old, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
That's right. It's an oldie but a goodie, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so when we stand in the middle, then people don't, like, I've been talking a lot about that whole Ban Bossy, and my next guest is going to be talking about that with me. And it's like sometimes I think we don't want to take that stand because we want everybody to like us, and and so now there's a, you know, this whole idea of banning words. No, buck up. You know, it's like tolerate the criticism.
You know, there is, however, a difference between how we raise our girls and what we must learn to do as women. You're talking about the whole Ban Bossy conversation. I have a six-year-old granddaughter, and Samantha definitely has the ability to tell everyone what to do, yet I am quite leery of branding that as bossy behavior. I'm much more apt to say to her, you know, Samantha, you've got to be a little smarter to influence your friends, a little smarter to influence your friends, because I don't want her to associate hearing, oh, don't be bossy, with one day you shouldn't be the boss, because she's already saying she wants to own Walmart.
How old is she, Kay?
She's six.
Oh, my.
She says she either wants to be a kindergarten teacher or she wants to own Walmart. Now, whether that's an entrepreneurial bent, I don't know. It may be that Walmart just has lots of great stuffed animals. I'm not quite sure,
but
I'm certainly encouraging it anyway. But when we've heard that is as girls, it's not surprising that we may have the sense that being the boss isn't that appropriate to us. So I don't know that the two are totally related. You know, yes, we must learn to deal with criticism, and so let's be really careful about branding our little girls as bossy if we in fact want them someday to be the boss.
I agree with you, and for us growing up girls, it's if we decide to start a business or re-enter the workforce or any of those things, we have to embrace that idea of stepping into our power. That's what it's about. It's our feminine power and stepping into it.
Absolutely. You know, it's not always a comfortable place to be.
But you know what?
But anything we do, if it's going to be worthwhile, there's going to be a lot of discomfort.
It's the truth, and we have a lot of discomfort being not powerful. So,
oh, well said, Anne Marie. You know, when you think about the payoff and the penalty.
That's true.
The payoff and the penalty. My goodness, there's a whole lot greater price to pay if we have no power.
Kay, my producers tell me we have to go to break, but I've had such a good time with you today. Will you come back another time?
Oh, I would absolutely love to, Anne-Marie. I'm so glad you reached out, and we've got lots more to talk about.
And you can find all Kay's information, all of her links are right on my website at victoriouswoman.com, and get involved with highyieldsuccess.com. Thanks, Kay.
Great. Enjoyed it, Anne-Marie.
Thank you. You're listening to the Friday Happy Hour.
Of Chester County. Nearly 500 works of art created by Chester County High School students will be on exhibit to the general public at the Chester County Art Association in Westchester. The 40th annual Chester County High School Art Exhibition will begin on Saturday, April 5th, and will be on display through Saturday, April 12th. A free reception and award ceremony will be held on Monday, April 7th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. for students, their families, and the general public. Exhibit hours are Tuesday through Saturday, 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. The exhibit and the reception are free and open to the general public. The Chester County Art Association is located at 100 North Bradford Avenue in Westchester. The non-juried art show will feature work by students from throughout Chester County. The Chester County High School Art Exhibition is presented by the Chester County Intermediate Unit. For more information, please contact Jennifer Shealy at 484-237-5053 or call the Chester County Art Association at 610-696-5600.
Piano shoppers, don't miss your chance to save thousands on a new Kawai piano through the end of March at Taylor's Music Store. Beat the April 1st Kawai price raise, get a factory rebate, and take advantage of additional discounts on all new and used grands, verticals, and digital pianos in stock. Find your piano, sign up for lessons, and make playing music an important part of your life only at Taylor's Music Store, Westchester, where live music begins. Check our website at taylorsmusic.com.
Want to have some extra cash this holiday season? Bluer, that's Borough Leaders United for Emissions Reduction, can help. Did you know an electric blanket can be an energy saver? On average, using even a king-size electric blanket costs only $10 per heating season. Maximize its efficiency by turning it off during the day and throw an extra blanket on top of it at night. According to the American Council for Energy Efficient Economy, for every degree you set your thermostat back full-time, you save about 3% of your heating costs. So turn your furnace down 10 degrees when you go to work and 10 degrees when you go to bed, about 16 hours a day, and you'll save about 14% on your heating bills. What does that mean? Well, if your average heating bill is $150 a month, that's $21 saved each month. For 6 months of heating, that's $126 every year. Being smart about saving energy doesn't mean that you have to be uncomfortable. So, consider an electric blanket. Turn down the thermostat, snuggle up, and save. For more energy-saving tips, visit Bluer at www.wcbluer.org and enjoy the holiday season.
This message from the Westchester Bluer Committee is sponsored by Thomas Committa and Associates, TCA. Thomas Committa and Associates has assisted municipalities with smart growth initiatives since 1973. We represent 44 municipalities in Pennsylvania and Delaware in matters pertaining to town planning and landscape architecture. Sometimes the perfect way to express an emotion or celebrate a special occasion is with flowers. For flowers for any occasion or just because, no one does it better than Katie Mack Floral Designs. Katie and her staff can help you pick flowers or an arrangement that everyone will love. And Katie Mack Floral Designs provides same-day delivery on all bouquets. If you're looking for a unique floral design that will stand out from all the others, Katie Mack is the place. Katie Mack Floral Designs is located at 365 South High Street in the heart of Westchester. Order your flowers by calling 610-431-9414. That's 610-431-9414. Need an idea for the perfect bouquet? Visit their website, Katie, spelled K-A-T-I, Mack, M-A-C, floraldesigns.com. Katie Mack Floral Designs is the official florist of the WCHE Morning Magazine Show and the Eat, Drink, and Meet Mary Show with Mary Bigham. Make Katie Mack the official florist of your family, too.
Hi, this is Melissa Joan Hart, and you're listening to WCHE 1520 AM.
Welcome back to the Friday Happy Hour with me and Marie Kelly, and we have author Pam Mariani with us. Hey, Pam, how are you?
Great, Amory. How are you on this sunny day?
I know. It's so nice out. It's just, I wore my winter coat, and I didn't think I was, wasn't sure if I should wear it or not. But since I'm meeting you for drinks later for a real happy hour, I thought I better do that.
Sounds good.
Listen, Pam, I want to know what you think about this whole bossy thing. But first, let me catch the listeners up to date, just in case anybody isn't sure about what it is. Sheryl Sandberg, who's the CFO of Facebook, and a couple other powerful women like Condoleezza Rice and Beyonce and Jane Lynch all got together and put together a public service announcement asking people to take a pledge to ban the word bossy. Now, I wrote an article about why I think it's a terrible idea, and it's published on examiner.com. And there's a link to it on my website at victoriouswoman.com. But you know what? This week, Pam, you probably had the same thing happen to you. I had more women's groups send me email to go onto that website and take the pledge to ban bossy. I was furious. And even the Wall Street Journal wrote in, and they said that they called bossy the other B word. What do you think? First of all, what do you think about the whole banning the word bossy?
Well, first of all, I don't think there's a lot of other words that could be banned. And teaching our young women and young boys how maybe not to be so bossy, but to be more mighty, to be more dynamic might be the other way to go, and give them a good path to go down.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean. Give me an example.
Well, for example, when I did a lot of reading today before coming on your show, when I looked at some of the definitions of what bossy is, overbearing, authoritative, domineering, I'm not quite sure that I like the word. But then again, as I said, there's a lot of words I don't like.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what my guest, Kay Fittis, who was just on, was saying, that when you ask people about power, people in, that you could think of who were powerful, they use people like Hitler, you know, so there's like that negative connotation to it.
I think there is. I mean, I'm a boss, and I know there's a lot of bosses out there. You're a boss. And if I had to define myself as a boss, I'm not bossy. Maybe I should be, but I don't think I am. I would like to say that I'm dynamic.
Hmm.
I would like to say that I'm mighty. I would like to think that I might be impressive.
And I know you well enough to know you're victorious, so all of those are good things.
And I think that's what we have to really impress on our young girls today. And even the women, some of our women listening today as well.
Well, I understand. Why don't you explain a little bit more? Because I wasn't sure that I agreed with you. And to the degree that you say we want to promote young girls being powerful, like into being more dynamic. I like that word, dynamic. But as far as that word bossy, that whole banning anything is just sort of, you know, I don't. People will then use it. It has a bigger sting if you ban it.
Exactly.
Whereas if we all talked about how bossy we are, then it has no power.
That's right. And we want to empower our women and our girls, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. So if we think it's fine that everybody says that they're bossy, this and, you know, whatever. So what? So if you hear it enough times, then who cares? Then everybody will say, yeah, everybody's bossy, and then it loses its power. But if you ban it, this is my thought, that if you ban it, then it just becomes a bigger deal.
It sure does.
I liked at the end of the PSA, I liked where Beyonce says, I'm not bossy, I'm the boss.
Exactly.
And you sent me a link to a website, but I have to tell you, Pam, that I must have done it wrong the first time because it was something about, I thought it was I'm the boss, but it was a clothing website. But when I've actually found the one that you sent me, I commented on her blog post. She had a lot of stuff on that banning bossy that I thought was really interesting. I put the link on my website.
Very interesting. There's another one, Amber, that I didn't get to send you because I just found it. It's a blog called Linguistic Pulse.
What is it?
Linguistic Pulse.
Okay.
And today it's all about Little Miss Bossy.
Oh.
And that was amazing. And what I also find amazing is, again, why is the word bossy, and she says it a lot in this Linguistic Pulse, why is it so gender specific to girls and women?
Because, you know why? I think because women care about being called bossy. Do you know what I mean? They care that if you get called bossy, that's always meant as a negative thing, and women are so overly sensitive to criticism that they take it to heart, and it's like a bad thing.
Exactly, because I think the word bossy also has an attitude behind it.
So why don't we call men bossy?
I don't think I'm allowed to say that on radio.
I don't even know what that means, Tammy. I mean, seriously, I liked at the IamBoss.com website where she says, you know, they don't call boys bossy, they call them leaders, but they also call them bullies and hooligans, and she has other names that boys are called when they're taking the lead. And I kind of like that other perspective, because But I think the difference is they could care less.
Exactly. In fact, I think they take some sense of pride.
And that's my point. That whole idea, if we start embracing that word bossy, even if we're not bossy. I wasn't bossy as a kid. I was one of the ones who was bossed around. And so that idea of being called bossy, and maybe because I didn't want people not to like me, but I think if we embrace that word, and if we make it like something good, and we can shift that connotation a little bit, I think that's a better way. What do you think?
I think so too. Again, I think banning anything, and again, if we focus on banning some of the words that maybe really should be banned, instead of focusing our attention on this and realizing that maybe the word really isn't bossy, maybe it's the negative connotation behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if we put it in the almost as added definition to say empowerment.
I agree with you. If we see, it's like, I think it was Von Germer who took the other B word, and instead of taking it to heart and it being something bad, she made it an acronym for boys, I'm taking charge here.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, so that's, you know, it's that boys, and if you're not getting that, it's the first letter, boys, I'm taking charge here.
Right.
And so she just turned it around and made it something in her life to be something positive. And it's something I personally really, really liked. You know what, Pam? Our time is just about up. Bryn's telling me we have 1 minute.
Oh, my time always flies with you, Amory.
Honest to God, it does, Pam. So what are you up to these days? Anything in particular?
Well, I'm going to be starting a blog, which I'm very excited about.
Good for you.
And I'm throwing around some ideas now, but it's going to be my cat buddy, Buddy's Buddies. And I think he's got a lot to say. So we're really excited about it. And it'll be on a range of topics. And I'm digging out, once I get my lock changed on my storage container, going to be really digging back into my books and getting the other three that are ready to be published, reaching out and trying to get them published.
All right, Pammy, well, I'm going to be looking forward to hearing that. And as we leave, I'm going to be giving you, Amy Poehler has this quote about bossy. I love bossy women. I could be around them all day. To me, bossy is not a pejorative term at all. It means somebody's passionate and engaged and ambitious and doesn't mind leading. Thanks for listening today. I'm Anne-Marie Kelly, and I'll catch up with you at the next Friday Happy Hour. Chin's on.